redeem the time. You know, why do we want to redeem the time? Maybe let me just start off there. Why do you want to redeem the time? You know, why do you want to actually be faithful or careful with the time that you have given? Now, I guess for us in this world, we can answer that question in a whole lot of ways. But I think if we look at it from a kingdom perspective, then we redeem the time to be the most effective for our God that we are serving. You know, like I said in the beginning, if this is the last opportunity we have to worship, if this is the last opportunity we have together, what would it look like? How would we use this time? You know, we live differently, but someone that's been given the news that they have cancer and they're going to die in 3 weeks, they live differently. They enjoy every moment way differently than what you and I do, just going through the motions every day. Is that not true? I don't know, because I have not been diagnosed with cancer, but I can only think, if you have limited time, I would spend time with my wife and kids. There's people that I want to spend time with. You know, my time will be focused. Why? Because I know I've only got a little bit. But we're actually living at the moment with this like open-ended lifestyle. Like there's no end. And then we're surprised when we die. And everyone goes, oops, that shouldn't have happened. Nah? Okay, none of you. Okay, great stuff. All right, no, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. But yeah, that is the truth, is that we actually have got no guarantee of this afternoon or tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. And therefore, we need to be careful with the time that we have been given. Now, I know that we all live in this world, and you know, you wake up this morning with the best of intentions, and then everything goes south. You know, you had this plan, you know, I'm going to be nice and rustic today, it's going to be this, you know, just spending, soaking in God's presence, and then you wake up and your dog bit the neighbor's cat, you know, and I don't know what's going on, and it's chaos, or your boss already on your case because you need to do stuff, and our lives can so quickly become hectic. And what I hope and I trust for that the redeeming the time will do is for you to actually deliberately start looking on how you use each day, every moment, how you filter those things through the glasses of God's kingdom and His purposes in us. Amen? So yes, let's trust God for it. So Father, we just commit this word into into our lives, Father God. And I ask as I preach, Father God, that you will just have your way, that you will come and minister to us, Father, that we will become everything that you are calling us to be, Father. And help us to redeem the time, Father God, to be faithful with that which you have been given to us. So we give you thanks this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians 5. It's 5 to 17. This is our base scripture that we've been working on. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Now, none of us consider ourselves as fools here this morning. But sometimes we can walk like we are. All right? So, and that's what he's saying. You know, stop walking like a fool. Just going through the motions. But walk as wise. And it's true. You know, if you meet a wise person, what is interesting about a wise person is he engages things differently than someone that is not wise. You know, people that are not wise will squander stuff, where a wise man will be careful and be, you know, will steward his stuff right. So he's saying, listen, the way that you're walking in this world, be wise in how you're walking in it. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So why are we redeeming the time? Because the days are evil. And I think as we sit here, we all can go, yes, Corbus, we think that's true. The days are a bit weird at the moment. You just have to open the noise to the noise. That's part of the sermon, right? you have to open the news to know that there's evil going on in the world. You know, you have to just walk around in this world to know that there's evil happening at the moment. Verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And we've looked at it, that the most important thing for each one of our lives is understanding what God's will is with each of us every day. You see, we can so easily go, you know, Father, what's my call? You know, where am I working towards? But you know what? God has a will for you every day. He has a plan for you every day, and it's exploring and walking in with Him in such a way that I am sensitive to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit to actually fulfill those purposes in my life. And it's when I do not that I get so easily distracted. Okay, but again, I know none of you do that. It's only me that struggles with this. All right, but redeem the time, as we've looked at it, the first five that we've looked at, the first one was start with a word, start with a living word, start with Jesus Christ. In other words, start your day deliberately. We looked at Jesus' life and we saw that He very deliberately set time aside to spend with His Father. So if He is our example, then that's what we need to do, is spend time with the Lord our God. All right. The second was, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So in other words, if you say yes for something, then do it. One of the biggest frustrations we have in this world is that people go, yeah, 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 I'll do it. You know, yeah, yeah, ons moet kuier. We'll visit you and nothing happens. You see, but Scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So if you say yes, have the integrity to do that yes. But if you say no, do it in such a way that it brings glory to God. Don't just be, you know, mislick or harsh or whatever, all right? Just do it nicely. Number three was withdraw from the noise kingdom. Just withdraw from the noise kingdom. Get away from it. And we looked, you know, this noise kingdom that we're speaking about is our availability to information, our devices and everything. There's always stuff, distractions and so on. And what this noise kingdom highlights is the fact that we cannot become still. I can guarantee you now, if I say, all right, let's be still before the Lord here, and I keep quiet for 10 minutes. Okay, maybe that's long. Maybe 5 minutes. What is going to happen in your life if we are completely silent, waiting on the Lord just for 5 minutes? The reality is most of us will get this like twitch. Maybe you'll pick up your phone and go. But if we say, you do nothing, you just sit and you wait to hear God speak. And you know, sometimes there's that space where we just need to quiet ourselves and be in the presence of God. You know, when you spend time with the Lord, don't just, you know, there's a place for worship. There's a place for writing. There's a place for reading Scripture. But there's actually a place for just waiting on Him. I always say, you know, that Scripture that says, wait on those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Now, that is a great Scripture, but the problem in that Scripture is at the waiting. We don't like to wait. That's why we have microwaves. All right, number four says, prioritize what you say yes to. Prioritize what you say yes to. In other words, weigh the requests that are coming your way and determine what you are going to say yes to. Why? Because you want to do number two. You want to let your yes be your yes, right? And then number five is accept your unipresence. Now, I know that's not a normal word, but accept the fact that you can only be in one place at one time. We know women are different and they have the skill to, yeah. But for not even for them this is true. You cannot have a handle on everything every day through the day. Accept the fact that you can only be in one place, you know, and if you accept that fact, I think one of the most powerful things that we'll probably see is if I understand that I can only be in one place at one time, I can so become sensitive to what God wants to do in that moment, in that one place, with that person that I'm encountering. Or if I'm struggling with something, I can pray through it and say, God, what do you want to do here? Why? Because I'm in the moment. I'm not in this moment and 40 other moments because... But in any case, if you want updates on those things, just go listen to the other sermons because there's so much more that I'm not sharing here this morning. Okay, then the Barnes commentary says about redeem, the following says, it's to rescue or recover our time from waste. So it's to rescue or recover our time from waste. So we are not wanting to waste our time, to improve it for great and important purposes. So if I am redeeming my time, I want to improve it for the better purposes, the things that God wants me to do. Otherwise, I will live as an unwise person. I will just squander it because I think I have a lot. I can just go for first prize and hope to win it. Now, before I get into the sermon, there's a story that is told in the American, when the Americans fled in the 1800s to search for gold in the West. Okay, so they realize there's gold, so they get in their ox wagons and off they go. So here's this whole, I can just see this in my mind, I've never seen this, but here's this bunch of ox wagons just getting there. And according to the Immigrant's Guide to California, it was the gold rushes, you know, because now the thing about the rush is everybody wants to get there first, correct? And it was those that actually rested that got there first. Interesting. And especially those that honored the Sabbath. They got to gold country before those that just went on for 7 days a week. They just kept going. That in actual fact, most of those guys that rested got there 20 days before the rest. Now, does that make sense? For us, we go, but that's impossible. How can you rest a day, every 7 days, and still arrive 20 days above the other people, before the other people in at your destination? For us, it doesn't make sense. Which brings us to key number six. And key number six is this: embrace productive rest. Embrace productive rest. Now, the story about the gold rushes explains or illustrates a bit of a paradox in that often the most productive thing we can actually do is to rest. But this is not part of our culture, is it? Our culture says 24/7, buddy. You know, okay, not 24/7 maybe, but 18/7. Some of the guys work 18 hours or 16 hours or some crazy hours, and you're pushing. You're just going for it. You know why? Because you are effective with your time. You're making the most of it. But if we look at what this says, then the most productive thing you can actually do is to rest. We work long, crazy hours every week, thinking we are the most effective. Listen, have you ever tried to work when you are tired? Have you seen a fisherman that is tired? Yeah, all the mozzies kept him up. So, but here's the reality. When you are tired, your effectiveness actually goes down. You cannot think as clearly as you should. You cannot focus like you should. You cannot pay attention. You cannot keep a handle on everything like you should. Why? Because you are tired. But then you go and you drink some Red Bull. Or get some BioPlus. Or what's out there? Coffee. Some of you, I know, have a drip system with coffee just to keep yourselves going there, okay? Green tea. Ach nee man, sis. But scientists now understand that actually taking a break every 2 hours during your work day makes you more effective. And you go, Kobus, is jy gesyp? What is wrong with you? Can you think that I must take a 15-minute break every 2 hours in my day? Not going to happen, China. But they found out that if you do that, you actually become more effective in your work and you actually deliver better work. Now, this is not me that is saying, this is a scientist. You know, and in this world, if we say, the scientists say that, then it's true. And if you, on top of that, have 8 hours of good sleep every night, you will be more effective. You will do your best work. Now, if we filter this into the kingdom of heaven, how can we be effective for the kingdom of heaven if we are consistently like zombies? That is why America is waiting for the zombie apocalypse. It's because they're going to work themselves into a stupor or something, and then, I don't know. No, I'm just joking. My sons, we always have this conversation. They're like, these Americans are very serious about the zombie apocalypse. They actually got bunkers and stuff that they are ready for this thing. And I'm thinking, that's weird, man. That's just weird. But if we look at the Gospels, we see actually that Jesus keeps three rhythms. The first one is he gave breaks to his disciples. That's Mark 6. He fought for sleep. That's when he was sleeping in the boat in the midst of a storm. Now, I know if we are in a boat in a storm, all of us will be rowing or doing something. Yes, Jesus, in the middle of the storm, he says, have a nice day, guys. I will be down there, sleep. And what happens in that scripture? They come freaking out. Jesus, how can you be sleeping? We are sinking. And it's like, it's just a storm, guys, you know. But he fights for sleep. He actually... it's not bothered about the storm, but most of us don't sleep because we are bothered about the storm. Thank you, Chris. You can come again. And then the third thing is he reaffirms the Sabbath. In Mark 6, verse 30, it reads the following. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. So Jesus, earlier in the scripture, sends them out, says to them, go preach the word. And now they come back all excited because some amazing things have happened. You know, people got healed and they're so excited. And he goes to the, and he says in verse 31, he says, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place. Have you ever seen this in scripture? Well, now Jesus sends them out to do ministry, man. This is important stuff. People are getting delivered, healed, etc. They're teaching the word of God and so on. And they get to Jesus and they're like amped. Yes, this is awesome, Lord. And Jesus goes, let's just get to a desolate place. Let's just rest. Let's rest a while. For many were coming and going and they had no leisure even to eat. How many of you go through your day and then when you get to 5 o'clock you realize you missed tea time, you missed lunch, you missed afternoon tea, you are famished, you get home to and you're like, wife, I need food, feed me. So they were running around so much and they were ministering and were doing these amazing things for the kingdom. And Jesus goes, let's just go and rest. Have a meal. There's a rhythm in there that is powerful. If this is Jesus doing this, then should we not do this? In Mark 2, verse 27, he says, he reaffirms the Sabbath and he says, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So why is there a Sabbath? It's for God. No, it's for you to rest. He made the Sabbath. He instituted the Sabbath for you and me to rest. So what is this day about? We go to church, Corbis. No, you should rest. Yes, connect with God. This is, we want to connect with one another. We want to be energized by the faith here. We want to inspire one another with the faith that is in the room. But we need to rest. And I know some of you were thinking before that, you know, I'm going to go to church and then I'm going to go home and I'll quickly finish that assignment because the due date's on Monday. Wada wada. Where's your Sabbath? Your 24 hours of rest. Now it's very quiet in this room. You see, because we've fallen into this habit of the world that is just go, 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 go. If you today take your phone, chuck it there in your cubbyhole or in your cupboard, your laptop, switch it off, you don't answer anything, and you spend time with your wife or kids, or you just go to the beach or something, what do you think will Monday look like? And you let tomorrow worry about its own things. That scripture also says. Don't freak out today. Let tomorrow just... But are we not in freak out mode? Constantly trying to get to these things. And here, Jesus sets the model. He says, listen, I've established the Sabbath for you so you can rest. You see, God knew we needed a rhythm of rest. That's the way He created us. You know, if we read the owner's manual says, take regular rest. 24 hours in your week, just chill. Scientists now confirm, even, you know, take a break every 2 hours during your work day. I would love you to test this and get back to me. And see, you know, if you put your hand in God's hand in this, and you say, Father, lead me through this, I guarantee you your life will radically transform. Okay? So God knew what the scientists now are confirming, that the rhythm of productive rest is crucial as we want to get to our goals. Are we going to be like the gold rushers, just go 7 days a week? Or are we going to honor God, take the breaks, rest, get good night's sleep, and get to where God is leading us a lot sooner? The truth is, if we violate this, we feel it the most in our bodies. We become sick, tardy. Maybe some of the diseases that people are struggling now today with is because we are working these insane hours. I always say the sun sets for a reason. In the old days, in the 1800s, when these guys were, when the sun set, they couldn't put on a light. There was a permanent blackout. Eskom was not there. So there was no light. You could not switch it on. When the sun set, you could sleep. If you didn't have fire, you slept. Or I don't know what else they did there. So the fact that you and I can switch on a light doesn't mean we must work. So just be careful. Get your rhythm of rest right. Okay? When we take breaks during the day, we are reminded that God doesn't need us to finish everything when He's on control. When I put my faith in Him to lead me, to structure, to order my day, He allows me to be effective and to know where I need to pick up and where I need to put down. Okay? When I have a lack of night's rest, it reminds me the fact that God keeps the world spinning and it's not me that does that. That when tonight when I sleep, I'm putting my faith in Him that tomorrow there will be blessing, that I will be fresh, that I can do everything that He's calling me to do. And then we move on to key number 7. And key number 7 is this. It says, eliminate all hurry. Neocorbus. Come on, buddy. But nobody here is in a hurry. We understand that. I thought of taking out the all. You know, just eliminate hurry. And I thought, no, but it should say all. Because we're constantly running around like headless chickens after stuff which Solomon would describe as vanity. It's all vanity. It's all temporary. It's all things of this world. We are running around like headless chickens. But when you look at the life of Jesus and the disciples, if you read the Gospels, you will see that they were very busy. And Pastor Kevin Young, the Young, says the following. He says, Jesus was busy, but never in the way that made Him frantic, anxious, irritable, proud, envious, or distracted by the lesser things. So you don't see Jesus becoming frantic. You know, because we've seen as we look through this that there was pressures and things where people, you know, were pushing to be healed and wanting to be touched by Him and want to hear the message and so on. But He never came across as anxious or frantic or irritable or anything. How does He do that? And that's why we have this sermon series. So we don't want to be in a hurry consistently. Listen, if you are in a hurry consistently, you can only do that for that long. And then the wheels come off. You know, maybe you're sitting here at the end of 2021 and your wheels are coming off because you were in a hurry the whole time. And God is maybe trying to get your attention this morning to say, can we fix some things? Can we change some things here? So what is the difference between busyness and hurry? Now, busyness is having a lot of meetings on your calendar where hurry is scheduling those meetings back to back, forcing your spirit from one to the next without enough time to think. So you have these meetings. It's not a bad thing to have meetings, but it's like you're going from the one to the other, from one to the other, and from one to the other, and you can't even take a break. And you know, Zoom makes this worse. We were speaking the other day with someone, and he says, you know, oh, was with Paul, and he just says, you know, they just go through meetings, and there's no time for a bathroom break, so you have to say, I'll be back. What? Nah? I'll be right back. I can't even any corporal. I just need to go to the loo. But that's how things come. You know, it's just pushing, getting through those things. All right, so the next one, business is having a lot of errands to run. Hurry is getting mad about choosing the wrong line when you get to the shop. I've sort of lost my Christianity. Now then you go, you're like, yeah, no, that one's full. No, that's. Okay, no, it must be this one. Then you, and then the card doesn't work. Or there's no price, yeah? There's no price on it, and then they send that little girl running. And then, you know, 5 minutes later you think, where's she run to? The greens is just this side, man. Where has she gone to? And you're like getting irritated because she should have been back by now. And you know, I'm late. I need to move. And has that ever happened to you on the N1? You're sitting in the lane and you go, fum, fum. And you think, I'm in the wrong lane. So you go, very carefully. It's never happened to me. I'm God's anointed. You know, where I am, it flows. Not! I tell you, I sit there and I'm thinking, what is wrong with the people? I'm in a hurry. I need to get there. Or you know, you're very, very, very nice and, you know, you're honoring the rules of the road. And you know, you get to the four-way stop and it's one for you and one for you. And as you get there, it's like, two guys from this side and you're thinking. I get this. Bless them, Lord. Or it's maybe, bless them, Lord. I just want to kill them. In any case, but business is attending three Bible studies a week. Hurry is not having enough time and stillness to listen to God's voice between those studies. It's like the disciples. You're running around from good thing to good thing, but you don't even have the time to sit and listen to God. So, Kobus, how can we be busy without being hurried? Well, the first thing is, we must get good at counting the cost of the things that are coming our way. If you look at Mark 11 and verse 15, you see that Jesus comes into this town, and I'm just to tell the story, but Jesus comes into the temple. And he walks in there and he sees all these guys busy dealing and wheeling and all the rest of it. And that's the story where he makes the whip and he flips some stuff and so on. And in verse 11 he says that he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had a look around at everything as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So, you know, I always got this story that he walked in, made the whip, you know, throw the guys around and so on. But it actually says that he got into there, he looked at what's going on, realized it was late, and went home. He went home to Bethany. Yeah? Now, it is incredible to think Because he could have, you know, did he have time for some table flipping there? You know, it would be quick. Let's just sort this out quickly. Let's deal with these things. And he realized, I've had a busy day. It is late. I'm going to go home. And he goes home, and he comes back the next day. He didn't want to cram another activity just in that day. Why? Because he understood the rhythm of rest. He had another priority, which was probably to be spend time with his disciples. Now, I can guarantee you this. If he flipped the tables there, what would have been his spiritual condition when he got home and sitting around the table? He would have been still in that moment, angry, etc. You know, how many of us have at the end of the day, you know, you see this thing coming and you deal with it and you get home and you're looking like a bear with a headache. You're not the pleasant, most pleasant person because you come from that moment now where you've had to deal with something and you walk in the house and the family gets it. Or the guy in front of you. You know what road rage is when that happens? You can almost hear in the, Jesus in that moment saying, it can wait. The reality is the guys with the tables were going to be there the next day, weren't they? So that there was no urgency to deal with it. In that day, it was just too busy. So, and then obviously he goes back the next day and he throws the tables over and deals with the things, declaring that his house should be a house of prayer. So he understood that, that there's this rhythm that I should not be hurried. Everything is not an emergency. The fact that you are getting the WhatsApp doesn't make it an emergency. When the phone goes bleep, it doesn't mean that you must give it attention. And now you're all sitting here going, no, Kovas, it's a WhatsApp champ. I need to answer it. So how can we eliminate hurry from your lives? It's by getting better to saying no to requests that come our way. It's probably one of the most powerful words in this scenario. It's just no. Practice with me. No. When you're in tonight at the front of a mirror, just go, no. All right? You can do that to your kids too, just by the way. No. It's not bad to tell your children, no. It does something in their lives. In any case, we can do a parenting course later. So six questions that you can consider to help you filter stuff in your life. The first thing is that, am I the best person to say yes to this request? Now you have this request coming your way. Are you the best person to do it? You might be able to do it, but are you the best person to do it? Second one, is it the most generous use of my time? In other words, I'm counting the cost now of the time that God has given me, and is this the best way I can apply this time at my time at this time? Right? Would I say yes to 100 similar requests to my time in this? If you have this request and it's coming your way, so if you, for instance, saying yes in your work day, someone wants to see you, they've got a problem, and they say, can I have a coffee with you to discuss that? When you say yes, you are actually saying yes to 100 of them because you are setting the precedent in your life. So if you are counting the cost, what you are saying yes to at what time, that has a rollover effect in your life because the next time it's easier to say yes to the same request. So you have to evaluate that. And then for what? For what purpose? What am I saying? If I say yes to this, for what am I saying yes? What's the duration? How long will this take? Blah, blah, blah. You can work that out. Am I trying to do good or make myself look good? It's obviously the second part every time. I always want myself to look good. Why? Because that promotion is coming, right? Okay. Am I trying to do good? Is this what God wants to use my time for at this time? For his kingdom purposes, or am I just going to feel better if I did this? And the sixth one, what would you say no to? What would you say no to? You know, sometimes we say yes to stuff simply because we are scared to offend people or ruin the relationship or whatever. The reality is we need to redeem our time. As this world picks up speed, as technology picks up speed, as it becomes this roller coaster ride of note, we need to count the cost of what we do with our time. We need to redeem the time. I can tell you, life, those that are older, yeah, will tell you, and you can testify, life was a lot simpler then, a lot slower. Especially if you were on the platteland. Listen, just go to a platteland's dorpie. What was this day? What was it? Middelpos. You know, in Middelpos, we went to the Tankwa Karoo, if you are visiting this morning, and we drove through for fuel, 50 kilometers gravel road, get to Middelpos. So Middelpos is this little dorpie in the middle of nowhere. Now, for us, we are so used to here, if you want fuel, you just drive up into the petrol station and you go like, fill it up. You get to Middelpos, there's a number against the building, or on a window. It was on a window, a written note. Found this dude, he's on duty. I'm in a hurry, excuse me. I need fuel. So now you phone, can't remember what his name was. Phone him, goes, ja meneer, I'm on my way. So you go like, lekker. So now we're chilling. I have to wait. He's coming. So we walk through the whole town, waiting for him, because this is Middelpos. In Middelpos, the pace is slower than in Brackenfell. So we're waiting. Now he comes and he greets you. Hello, meneer. My name is Gawi. Gaan vir jou diesel in gooi. I'll be right back. Now I've waited already. Now I go fetch the book. Because there's no electronics there, he has to fetch the book. So now he disappears. He go fetch the book. Pace looks there. I was so refreshed. I'm not going to lie to you. It was amazing. There's a police station, a school, a hotel that was closed because they had a party the previous day. They're not doing business on that day. Sorry. So if you wanted to book in that day, sorry, Middelpos is closed. That's platteland. If we encounter this, we write an email, a very nasty one, because there was no one to attend to us when we arrived there. What is up with this? Listen, let's be honest. Our lives has actually become quite funny. If you take a step back and you look at the way that we are living, it's becoming hilarious. The people we are becoming is this impatient, I don't know, whatever people, because we want it yesterday. You know, just press your microwave and cook something, and when you open it, it's not done, and you're already like, now I must have another 30 seconds that I need to wait for my 2 minute noodles that took 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Saints, we need to reevaluate where we are. Reevaluate. Redeem the time. Slow yourself down a bit. You know, slow down to a panic. From frantic to panic. No, I'm joking. But can we just slow down a bit and recognize what God wants to do through us and in us at times? So as I conclude, redeem the time. The first one was start with a word. Let your yes be your yes. Withdraw from the kingdom of noise. Prioritize what you say yes to. Accept your unipresence. Embrace productive rest and eliminate hurry. If you do that, your life will look different. Is it easy? No. You know, can I put it this way? And not that I've done this, but from what I understand from cowboy movies, is that if you have 6 horses and your carriage, and the horses get spooked and these boykies start running, you don't just go, whoa, whoa, and they stop. Right? The cliff is coming. The horses haven't got a sock. How many of you have seen cowboy movies where the cliff is coming? Nah? So the horses are running. So it takes some time and some skill to pull that thing back to stop just before the edge. Now, some of us here have got the wild horses running in our lives. They are running like they've been spooked. Your life is going insane. So don't expect after this sermon, tomorrow morning you wake up, you go, Jesus, fix it all. Or you play that song, Jesus, take the wheel. All right? It's not going to stop instantly. It's going to stop through the choices that you make with your hand in God's hand, trusting Him to show you what you need to change, what you need to say yes to, what you need to say no to fulfill everything that God is calling us to. Now, I just want to give credit where credit is due, and the source for the material that I've used in the sermon is from Jordan Reynolds' book. I've actually done the Bible study on the app. Great. Some good stuff in there. Redeeming Your Time, 7 Principles for Being Purposeful, Present, and Wildly Productive. So you can get that. I know it's on, Amazon and all those places. And maybe it's a book that you should buy. Just to help you reevaluate where you are at. To establish what you need to change. And listen, there's way more that he shares that I have not shared here. But please, if you have the time, go read it. So can I ask them?